Get off the couch and go to the store. It's 2024, Ian. Who's going to the store in a world of Instacart and Postmates and Uber and DoorDash? Who the hell is going to the store? Come on now.
I'm telling you, I had no earthly idea, no concept that you could DoorDash an air mattress or anything else. I thought that was just for food. I had no idea. But the bigger question is this, Miss Wilson.
Oh, no.
Where did you end up sleeping last night? Did the mother-in-law arrive last night because you were sick and you and your husband had a big trial starting today? So did you sleep on the couch? Did you go air mattress? Did the mother-in-law show up? Were you allowed to stay in the guest room? What happened?
You're not going to like the answer to this. The mother-in-law slept on the air mattress. She ended up on the air mattress. And here's the thing, and I made it as comfy as possible for her. I ended up like putting a comforter on top of the air mattress before I put the fitted sheet. I did like this whole thing, right, to try to make it really nice for her. And it's in a room that right now is empty because my husband had just moved his office out of it. So it's in a spare bedroom, right? So it's, you know, it's a nice room, whatever. I set it up all nicely, but we just didn't have furniture in it at this very moment. And so I set it up, whatnot. She's fine with this. She's like, no, I'm sleeping on the air mattress. It's all good. Like, you're sick. He's got this trial in the morning. My husband's on an airplane right now. Crazy day for him. She's like, I'm good. So she sleeps on this air mattress. And Ian, this poor woman, the air mattress that we DoorDashed.
No, don't tell me it deflated.
It deflated.
No.
It deflated during the night.
I
felt so guilty because I normally, when my mother-in-law comes into town, I normally make, you know, a big thing of it. And I have like my son make signs and I always have the guest room set up and I'll have flowers and do the whole thing. I try to make it all nice for her. And this one time, because I'm sick, I'm like, okay, I'm taking her up on this and I'm having this arrangement. It's just one night that we had to do this for. And then the stupid air mattress deflates in the middle of the night.
You can't make that up. You can. That is outstanding and horrific all in one. I mean, so did she go to the couch? I mean, what happened?
No, apparently it didn't actually wake her. Well, it didn't really wake her up until, like, she's a super early riser anyway. She's one of these, you know, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. risers anyways. And so she didn't really discover it until this morning. So she said she slept okay on it. I, of course, immediately today changed over everything in the guest room, made the guest room all nice for her. She changed the sheets, did the whole thing. She's now in the guest room on the king bed tonight.
That is why you take your butt to the store, right, instead of having it DoorDash. Because, and remember the movie Lethal Weapon 2, they will screw you at the drive-thru and when it gets delivered. Right there, man. Joe Pesci, famous words from Leo Getz. Get it?
Joe Pesci was saying those words before the beauty of all of the delivery services. And that's why we are living out here in 2024. I'm a glass half full kind of gal anyways. But when people complain about, like, you know, the world we're living in, I'm like, have you ever tried Amazon? It's amazing. have you ever had things brought to you? Like a grocery delivery? I'm here.
Never
for living
done
in this
that.
Era.
No shot. I love to cook. There's zero chance I will ever have groceries delivered. I have got to go and look at the asparagus, the grapes, I'm doing veggies in the oven right now. It took me a good 5 minutes to pick the right red onion. So, no, I will never, ever, ever have groceries delivered to my house. Not happening.
Well, and you would hate it because I will say that's the flaw in the system is if you're a true chef, right, and you really care about it, the produce, they do not put the same effort in as you would if you were picking out your own individual produce. I will say that's the flaw in the system. It's glorious for things that you're buying all the time because these apps, they have the, you know, bought it before and you just go and you can just load up everything that you buy all the time. So for routine stuff, it's great. I had groceries delivered 2 days ago and went to the grocery store today. I do both all the time. I'm out here making, I'm telling you, I am making use of the technology in 2024.
We think
that the Bears are going to make use of the number one overall pick in a very predictable way, but are they? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. So we've all assumed that it's Caleb Williams, but Lewis Riddick, our ESPN NFL analyst, was on Carlin versus Joe here on ESPN Radio, and he had another name that the Bears should consider.
if I'm Chicago right now, like, I'm seriously sitting there going, who do we take? Do we take this guy number one? Because for me, look, I got to see both him and Caleb now back to back. And I love talking to Caleb, and I love the way, you know, he kind of contextualized everything that's going on with him right now. And with Jaden, the same way, just so composed, so mature, has a great sense of where he still needs to go and what he needs to work on. The way he got around with his teammates today, this kid is special. This kid for me is QB1. And I think talking to the people around here who were here at this workout, where there was darn near every team was here today, I think there's a lot of people looking at this going, he may just be QB1.
Look, I'll tell
you, QB1, Jaden Daniels.
Brutally honest, and there are a few opinions that I respect and admire more than Lewis Riddick. The dude has been around, you know, NFL front offices as a scout. He played the game, you know, as an outstanding safety for 7 years. The dude knows talent. Bottom line, end of conversation. But I can promise you this. If the Chicago Bears pass on Caleb Williams and take Jaden Daniels, and I think Jaden Daniels is going to be an outstanding quarterback. I think Caleb Williams is going to be an outstanding quarterback. I mean, Jaden Daniels did things that we haven't seen before. Against your Gators, he was the first player in the history of big boy football to throw for at least 350 yards and rush for over 200 yards in the same game. I mean, I know, sorry to bring it up, right? I mean, look what he did, you know, just when it came to the entire season. He accounted for 50 touchdowns and 6 turnovers.
He was unstoppable.
40 through the air, 2 fumbles, right, and 4 INTs. I mean, he was sensational. That's why he took down the Heisman Trophy. He did things we've never, ever seen before in college football and completing 72% of his passes. But I can promise you this. If Chicago were to pass on Caleb Williams, there is one man in Washington, D.C. right now that will be doing cartwheels on top of their table in their draft room. That's Cliff Kingsbury, offensive coordinator for the Commanders, who had Caleb Williams last year at USC, absolutely loves the man. You know, when I had him twice last year, and Kingsbury would not stop glowing about the guy. So if Chicago does pass on Caleb, I promise you, there's one dude that will be pouring champagne down his shirt in the war room in Washington, and that man is named Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, he'd go immediately after the number one pick if he wasn't going number one. But like Cliff Kingsbury, there's a whole lot of people who feel very strongly about Caleb Williams. And it's all we've heard. It feels like it's an overarching, overwhelming consensus, right? He's one of these Trevor Lawrences. He's one of these dudes that everybody's in on.
Yeah.
The Andrew Luck of the world. And when everybody's in on the guy, you're not as likely to get fired for drafting that guy. What you will do is immediately get fired if you reach past that guy and grab another guy because you're smarter than everybody else in that room. So if you pass up Caleb Williams and you go for Jaden Daniels, that would put so much pressure on Eberflus and Poles and everybody there in Chicago to just an unbelievable degree. Yes, they're already going to be under pressure. Yes, their butts are already going to be on the line, of course. But even more so, at least with Caleb, everyone's going to give it a little time because everyone thinks that Caleb's going to work out. If you pass on Caleb and it's anybody else there at number one, I feel like you're taking a huge risk, even as unbelievable as both you and I thought Jaden Daniels was. For me, it's more like reputation almost than it is reality. Like, you can't pass on the guy that everybody agrees because the risk is so high in passing on him. It's high when you're drafting any of these guys, but it feels higher passing on that guy that everybody seems to agree on. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, is there an impact across sports that we're starting to see a trickle-down effect from the Jonte Porter gambling situation? We'll get into that next year on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But those are the players that are susceptible to this, Ian, if they are being recruited ever by bookies, illegal bookies, people making bets, all that sort of stuff in that sort of dark underbelly that can be the betting world. It's the players, it's the lower level players that end up being somewhat susceptible to this, because you're not going to recruit LeBron James, who's worth $1 billion, to throw anything. It's not going to be worth it. The risk, there's no risk reward. Yeah. That ratio is going to be very off for him. Whereas if you're recruiting a lower level player to do that, they're the ones that are more akin to go after potentially the easy money and help you out. And maybe they don't feel like the risk is quite as large because their career isn't of the same stature.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I didn't even know Jontay Porter was in the league until this story broke. I had no idea. I mean, I remember him in Missouri.
I didn't know Michael Porter Jr. had a brother until this story broke.
I remember Missouri. He got hurt at Missouri, and I had no idea his basketball career continued. So, but it's not.
And that's
bookie.
Not to say
it's,
anything. He's an NBA
no.
player,
yeah,
by the way.
Four
so he's still
four.
Top 1% of the 1% of the world. That's not even to say anything. But I just mean that's why people kind of kept harping on the fact that this is Jontay Porter. Well, yeah, it's a little bit easier probably. I mean, again, this is all allegedly, and we have no idea what actually happened here. But if you were recruiting somebody to throw their own prop bets, it would be more attractive to somebody making his salary than, you know, his brothers, for example.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You mentioned, like, you know, illegal bookies would be the ones to go. It wouldn't be the bookmakers. It would be friends of this guy or the player. And that's why I think what Charlie Baker and the NCAA are doing is or trying to do is very smart. If you missed this story, NCAA President Charlie Baker, the golf shirt, right, is because Mark Emmert was direct deposit, the former NCAA president. That's all that man cared about was his direct deposit of $2 million, and he did not care about the game, the athletes, the fans, nothing. Charlie Baker coming in, I was really excited about him coming in and taking it over for Mark Emmert. Well, he hadn't done a damn thing different until today because he is calling for a ban on college prop bets in states with legal sports wagering. So, and if you don't know what a prop bet is, like let's just use Jaden Daniels, for example. He's in the news today, right, with LSU's Pro Day. Now, he may have an over-under of 325 passing yards against the Florida Gators, and you can bet on that prop bet over-under 325, or rushing yards, whatever it might be, or over-under on touchdowns, turnovers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. In college, I mean, it's different from the pros, in my opinion, and I'm curious to see if you agree with this. And this is why I think what Charlie Baker is trying to do on the heels of the Jontay Porter allegations, basically shaving time and hitting the under in not one but two games where he was the most bet-on NBA player in those two games to hit the under in total points, rebounds, and assists. And he only played in like 3 minutes in both those games if you happen to miss that story. It's fascinating. Go Google it. It's awesome. Written by
the
Woj.
The two biggest winners on prop bets.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy.
On those respective
Jontay
evenings
Porter.
In the entire NBA.
Jontay Porter.
Yeah.
That raises a red flag. Well, now Charlie Baker is saying, you know what? We need to ban prop bets on college players. And I agree with this because I know that the college guys now get a boatload of cash. Some of them do. The big stars do. Right? And NIL money. But pro athletes get to go home. You know, college athletes, you have to also go to class. You're in that community. And if you didn't, let's say Jaden Daniels threw for 323 yards against your Gators, and he didn't hit that over, you're going to have some ass clowns out there that are going to go and confront him. I can't believe you didn't hit the over. You know, or even threaten college athletes. Because they are in the community, and they are having to go to class, and that is completely different from a pro athlete who's getting paid even a lot more, obviously, but you are a professional, and you get to go home. You don't have to be in the middle of that particular community. So what Charlie Baker is trying to do as president of the NCAA, to me, is actually very, very smart. And that might shock you, Amber, knowing that I live in that wagering world. I'm a former bookie in college. And I can promise you, even back when I was in school in the 90s, players, when I was at Alabama, I mean, if Alabama, forget prop bets, Amber, if Alabama didn't cover, these dudes, they were hearing about it in class. I witnessed it, right? So prop bets is a whole different animal, and that's why I believe what Charlie Baker is trying to do is the right thing, and it should get done. You should not be allowed to wager on prop bets on college athletes. What do you think?
I don't think it has so much to do with that. I didn't even consider that component of it, but I think some of that is learning to navigate the new world that we're in. I mean, the reality is, yes, people are going to complain to you. They're going to complain to athletes. They're going to complain even if it wasn't prop bets, like you said, and it's just the actual score of the game. You're going to hear it. And that's just the reality of betting, and the more popular betting becomes, the more likely you are going to be to hear it. As you're going to kind of have to learn as an athlete to try to not let some of that noise bother you. But I was thinking, the reason I was setting it up with Jontay Porter and what those lower level players make being more susceptible to this, I was going to make the transition of, so imagine how susceptible college athletes would be then. Because yes, some of these college athletes are making great money off the field in NIL. Some, not all, by any means. Some, they are not, they don't have the security though. They don't have the job security. Even with NIL money, they're talking, you know, 2, maybe 3 years. Most of them aren't making monster money their freshman year, depending who they are, obviously, in college. But you're normally talking limited time. If you're talking basketball, you're probably talking very limited time because some of them are one and done. So you're talking very limited time that you're making NIL in college anyways. It's not even the same as pros in that regard. So if the low-level athletes and the pros that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars with security for years on end potentially and can bounce around the league are susceptible to this thing, I would imagine that collegiate athletes are susceptible to being recruited for that sort of thing when they're not even actually directly getting paid for the work that they do beyond name, image, and likeness. And so I think, sorry, I knew that was going to happen. I don't have time to hit a cough button.
Hurt.
I don't actually have a
Battling.
Cough button on this. I'm playing hurt, so there's no actual cough button. So I'm sorry.
Mother-in-law to sleep on a blow-up that deflated. Little things
I
in
know
life.
Why. Little things in life. Yeah, but the point is that I do think that taking that issue out of collegiate sports is probably a good thing. I mean, at some point, when you're talking professional sports, like, just be a darn professional. You got to take responsibility for yourself.
No doubt.
And you can't get involved in this. And I think it's okay to expect. There's all this noise out there of like, well, we're all promoting ESPN Bet here and we're all betting and then we expect them not to get involved. Well, yeah, like I do actually expect you not to do XYZ because your employer requires that you don't do XYZ. That's kind of basic with every single job, frankly, everywhere, even if your job has nothing to do with sports or betting. There's normally things at your job or your company that you're not able to do that otherwise you'd be able to do. And so I don't think that's a big problem. But when we're talking about actual student athletes, they're not even employers technically or employees of the school. I think it's a different ballgame. I think this is a good idea.
Well, as our producer Terry Slajewski points out, they're companies that monitor wagering for irregularities, like the ones that popped Jontay Porter and the crazy wagering where he was the most wagered on and then won, you know, as far as his, the under and the games that he's allegedly fixed. They have warned, you know, college administrators that prop betting on unpaid athletes elevates a potential risk for a scandal. But here's the good thing. Because wagering is becoming more mainstream and legal in so many states, that is why they caught Jontay Porter. That is why they are able to monitor these things so much more closely and with under a microscope, kind of like Premier League soccer, right? That's why it is, by having it legalized, these scandals are easier to spot because it is such a big business and they don't want to be cheated.
If you had the under on Draymond tonight, he just got ejected less than 4 minutes into
wagering,
his game against the Magic. Two techs for arguing with the official. That's breaking news. Not surprising. Though news. Again, we are talking about Draymond Green. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, A longtime NFL special teams coordinator weighs in on the new kickoff rules. How are they going to change things and improve things in the NFL? That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Kickoffs are going to look a whole lot different in the 2024 NFL season. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me at Amber W Sports. So let's bring in somebody who can help us break down the new kickoff rule. Darren Rizzi, Saints special teams coordinator, kind enough to join us. And Darren, thanks for your time. Can you just explain it from the simplest terms? Because from an optics perspective, this thing is going to look very different next year.
No doubt, Amber. You know what? It's going to look different. And I know when you start reading all the rules, it's like, wait a minute, this looks complicated. I think the best way to explain it for the fans out there is it's really a condensed version of what we do now. You know, we're used to, as special teams coordinators, the way we practice kickoff is we always kind of bring our kickoff team kind of all the way up to midfield and kind of do a half field version, if you will. And so we're used to doing that for years and years and years. And really, this is very, very similar to the way that we have practiced, because rarely does a special teams coordinator or a special teams coach practice a kickoff in a full field fashion. So to the fans out there, I would tell you, listen, we've kind of taken our kickoff the way it is now. We've condensed it, and with a little bit of restriction. You know, you can only have two returners back. Kicker's got to kind of get it in his landing zone. But that's kind of the best way to describe it.
So do you like this?
I do. I mean, listen, there was two goals in this whole thing. The goals were, number one, let's make this play safer. Let's get this injury rate down to kind of where the offensive-defensive injury rates are, offensive-defensive plays. And then number two, let's revitalize the play. Let's make it exciting. Let's bring it back. It's a kind of a dying breed, if you will. It's 21% return rate this past year. So let's get that thing back up. And so I think we've accomplished those two goals. I know for a fact we're going to take these high-speed collisions away. And I also know for a fact that the fans are going to kind of be glued to the TV here this first year, because they're not going to know what to expect. So there's going to be that excitement, not only from the interest level, but just from the schematics as well.
Yeah, but as Amber pointed out, and you know, I witnessed this firsthand last year being a part of the XFL coverage, and now again this year with UFL. And UFL adopted the USFL rule. A lot of FLs here, man. Follow along, folks. Trust us. But they went with, you know, the USFL model, and that is kicking off from the 20. So you do have the return, but you have eight guys in the box. So you're not going like staggered 4-3-2 and a returner, right? So and the return team's having to run backwards, and so the contact and the impact and collisions aren't nearly as forceful as they are now. So would you have been a bigger fan of what the UFL is doing compared to what the NFL actually adopted, and that is, you know, the XFL version?
Well, I tell you what, Fitz, from you know, the knowledge that I have over the course of the last 7 or 8 years being on this special teams subcommittee is, you know, we have kind of knowledge of all the injury data and on the punt plays and the kickoff plays and all that, and it's kind of hard to sit here with a straight face and tell you that that would have been a safer model for us. You know, I can't speak for the UFL or the USFL or any of those other FLs, but I can tell you that the NFL data would show you that we're kind of going in the route of player safety. We've kind of, you know, obviously shrunken the space and the speed of the play. You know, no coach, doesn't matter what phase you coach, offense, defense, special teams, nobody wants to lose players. And, you know, what we were finding out is through this kickoff, the old kickoff model, there was a higher injury rate, and that's just factual. That's you know, it's hard to argue that. So I think the route that we went was certainly with number one, with player safety in mind. And then, like I said before, number two, you know, with the, getting the return rate up and making fans have a play that they can watch, having a play that fans can watch.
Saints special team coordinator Darren Rizzi joining us here on Amber and Ian. So you were a proponent of this change from a player safety perspective. Talk to me, though, Darren, about how much more difficult, if any, it's going to make your job as a coach. What is implementing this kind of change? Because, frankly, it's one of the biggest changes I feel like, certainly that I've seen in my lifetime, I feel like that we've seen in NFL history, that just overnight the kickoff is going to look completely different. From a coaching perspective, how is implementing this going to go?
Yeah, and listen, I've been coaching special teams for 30 years, and this is the first year that I can say that there's going to be an unknown. I mean, that's going to be the interesting thing. As much as we think, you know, we've run these models and we think it's going to play out, I mean, there's going to be a lot of unknown. There's going to be some firsts. There's going to be, you know, I don't know how other coaches are going to play this. I think the beginning of the season is going to be really, really interesting because – there's going to be a lot of creativity. There's going to be a lot of trying things out for the first time with other coaches. And it really, you know, that kind of that chess match, if you will, is going to be really cool to watch in the beginning. So that's really the biggest challenge is just the unknown. I could kind of sit here and tell you, I know all the coaches throughout the league, and I could kind of tell you going into a game how they're going to play certain things for the most part. No different than offense or defense. But boy, with this new rule, it's going to be a little bit wide open and a little bit of wild, wild west in the beginning. So that's going to be pretty neat.
It's going to be awesome to watch. Again, folks, the optics, you're going to take some getting used to, but it is, I can promise you this, you're going to have kickoff returns back in the NFL. That is guaranteed, and it's going to happen. Riz, before we turn you loose, you have coached with two remarkable characters in your illustrious career. Dan Campbell and Sean Payton. Let's start with Campbell. How many tins does he go through in a day of those dippy treats?
I'll tell you what, Dan's one of my favorite people in the world. You know, I got to know Dan at the Dolphins when he first got into the league, and then obviously Dan ended up being the interim head coach, and he had made me an assistant head coach. And I got to be honest with you, I've never had one in my life, and he's tried multiple times to get me to have one. But one of the very first games that he coached was against the Tennessee Titans when he was interim head coach, and we won a challenge, and we high-fived after we won the challenge, and I think he broke three of my fingers. So he gave me the hardest high-five I literally ever had in my life. But Dan is just – the thing about Dan is what you see is what you get. You know, there is nothing about Dan that's fake. You know, I could tell the fans, you know, people might see him up there in the press conferences and be like, is this guy really like this? That's how that guy is 24/7, 365. And that's really the thing I love about the guy the most is there's, you know, there is absolutely no – he doesn't even know what phony is. He doesn't even know what that word means. And so – and then, you know, with Sean – gosh, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Sean. Sean, you know, hired me. I never worked for him. He hired me as the same special teams coach. And obviously, you know, he had a lot of faith in me as a guy and as a coach and as a person. And so I got, you know, Sean's kind of funny. Sean's a different guy on game day. You know, Sean, the guy, the Sean Payton that you see the 6 days of the week during the season, and then the guy you see for the 3 hours on game day, it's like a Jekyll Hyde, I'll tell you. So if you ever watch a Broncos game, you know, I can promise you this, there's like this bubble around Sean Payton. No one wants to be within earshot or arm's length of that guy during those 3 hours of the game. So if you ever notice, for these fans, take notice in the future, no one goes near Sean because he doesn't care who it is. You're going to get yelled at. Doesn't matter if it's the water boy, the trainer, equipment guy.
Russell Wilson.
Doesn't matter who it is. You're going to get screamed at. And it doesn't have to be any rhyme or reason to it. So, you know, there's kind of like Sean's got that, you know, that the old, hey, remember the old halo rule back in the day? He's got like, yeah, Sean's got the coaching halo around him. If you come into that halo, forget it. It's over.
All right, what is a story about either one of those guys that is one of your favorites? Just die, when you think about it, you just absolutely die laughing.
You know, Dan Campbell, you know, I go out and, you know, during the off season, everybody works out, right? So I go out and I get to the Saints and I go out, I'm going to do a little jog around the field and do like, you know, do my old man workout, you know? And I look over and I see this guy working on the sled, the one man blocking sled. And I'm saying to myself, man, God, we got one of these players here working their butt off in the off season. God, he's already out here. And here I go jogging around the field. And here's Dan, and he's got his wrists taped up. The guy's got cleats on, and he's blocking the one-man sled. Now, he's a coach. This is his workout. This is not. He's got no one else around him, and there's no cameras. There's nobody around. And this guy, and I walked up to him. I said, you are absolutely out of your mind. And he's like, yeah, what do you mean? I'm just getting a little workout. And here he is, taped up, wrists, the whole thing. He's literally driving the sled like he was when he was a player for the Giants and the Cowboys. And that's just Dan Campbell in a nutshell. That's his workout. He's going to hit the one-man sled. So that's one that always stuck with me.
Amber and I are crying, looking at each other, crying, laughing. I mean, you painted an unbelievable picture. All Amber and I can look at right now is Dan Campbell with his wrist damn taped up with three-quarter spikes pushing the sled at like 7 a.m. as a coach.
That's a hilarious story. Yeah. Also, a totally believable story based on everything that we've seen from Dan Campbell. So completely believable.
Working out
kidding, right?
Right? With the dip.
Oh, goodness. Darren Rizzi, Saints special team.
Man.
Definitely not. Thanks so much for your time, Coach.
You guys have a great one. Appreciate you guys.
I appreciate you, Coach Dan. Darren Rizzi joining us here, special teams coordinator, assistant head coach for the New Orleans Saints on the new kick rule, and that remarkable visual of the head coach of the Lions, taped up, cleats on, dippy treat in, pushing the one man sled at 7 a.m.
The tape is, well, you added the dippy treat part. The tape is
there's no doubt
killer for me.
Dip in. No doubt he had a dippy treat in.
That might be true, but I'm not sure Darren Rizzi confirmed nor denied when it came to the dip.
Wrist
but
taped
when
up.
It came to the wrist taped up just to work out, that is hilarious for a coach. But also, again,
believable.
A little surprising when we're talking about very, very believable story. Talking about Dan Campbell. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, why Kentucky isn't moving on from its head coach just yet, despite all the noise. That is next here on ESPN Radio. Draymond is back to being Draymond. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Less than 4 minutes into the Warriors game with the Magic at the Kia Center, Draymond Green got ejected. He argued with the official, Ray Acosta, did not enjoy that, assessed him a couple texts. Draymond Green, he gone. And it's funny because I'm seeing it hit the internet. I'm seeing articles now about it, Ian. And they're like, Green hasn't been suspended since the indefinite suspension. It's like we're acting like that was 10 years ago. Right. It's just Draymond. You know, it's like, oh, he went a little bit there without getting without getting ejected. Okay, good. All right, good. But here we are again. And his head coach, Steve Kerr, was just praising him. I think it was 2 days ago for his composure and his leadership ever since he came back from that indefinite suspension. Here we are.
We'll get to Kentucky and Calipari coming up in 90 seconds, but I just watched it on NBA TV, Amber. I mean, it was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And to get ejected 3 minutes and 36 seconds into the game on a back-to-back where you just beat Miami, you're in Orlando, a pretty good Orlando team, and you're only a game up in a loss column on Houston for that 10th and final spot for the play-in tournament. And you're doing this with, I mean, your playoff hopes on the line? That's just irresponsible.
He'll
and it was
change.
Very, very selfish. And so Draymond, to your point, is back tonight to being Draymond all over again. 3 minutes and 36
seconds. His ejection came 8:24 was left in the first. His ninth and tenth techs of the year amounted to his fourth ejection of the year. He has been ejected in the first quarter of a game for the second time this season. That is the only player with multiple ejections in the first quarter of a game in a season in over 20 seasons in the NBA. This is a Draymond Green problem and nobody else. All right, let's transition to Kentucky and John Calipari.
Maybe now they know where Oakland is. An 80-76 upset victory over Kentucky.
This one, I'm really hurting for them because there's other years your team, you max out and you lose a game and you're like, geez, this team I really felt could have done so much more.
Two seasons ago, in my opinion, it was the worst NCAA tournament loss in UK history, and this is probably the second worst, and it's happened in 3 years.
That was courtesy of Westwood One. Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. I think it was Matt Jones there, because I'm sure Matt Jones had to be talked off a ledge when Kentucky got bounced again here in the NCAA tournament. But John Calipari, the head man there at Kentucky, he will be returning for his 16th season in 2024-2025. That is, of course, according to the athletic director, Mitch Bernhardt, there at Kentucky. Let's hear from the Kentucky AD.
We talked about things that we want to get better at. And, you know, we talked about the things that are out there that are the elephants in the room, so to speak. Cal's averaged 27 wins a year since he's been here. We get to a spot this year, we had some incredible victories, and then we get to March and we stubbed our toe a couple times. And there's no mystery in that. We've had a couple times down the stretch that we want to be better in March. There's no mystery in that either. Our fans know what the standard is. We know what the standard is, and that's part of it. The mantle we've been entrusted with is critically important to both of us.
Okay. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not. But the fans are furious. They want him gone. This is like Alabama football having a 4-win season in 2 of 3 years under Nick Saban. Even Alabama football fans. I remember, Amber, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, where Alabama, you know, ends up, and it wasn't even the kick six. I can't, that was even longer. But, I mean, Alabama had, like, you know, went 10-2 or whatever. And he had some, you know, the vocal minority going, well, maybe it's past his time. Of course, the following year, they won a national championship. But those obsessed fan bases, and Kentucky is one of those obsessed fan bases when it comes to basketball, they're done. 2 of the last 3 years. You heard Matt Jones, who's a diehard Kentucky fan and also a diehard Kentucky sports aficionado. When you hear a guy like Matt Jones saying the two worst losses in the NCAA tournament in the history of Kentucky basketball have happened in 2 of the last 3 years, that says a lot. And there, Mitch Barnhart normally is very gracious with his time. And after that loss to Oakland, when you had local Kentucky reporters coming up to him asking him if he had a second, he gave a one-word answer, and it was a very firm no. Dudes, he was livid, furious, and he had a right to be. So, because let me get your thoughts on this, Amber. You're not, because in my opinion, you're not paying a coach that kind of money, football money, right, to live on the past. You're not paying for what he's done to get to where you are now. You're paying him to continue in the present and in the future to win titles, to compete for Final Fours. And that's what Kentucky fans are saying about Calipari right now. We're keeping him because of his resume, not what he's doing in the present.
You are, but a resume does matter, right? A resume is what gets you hired there to begin with. And Calipari's resume would get him hired damn near anywhere across the entire sport. And the reality is, where are you going if you move on from him? And whose resume are you going to bring in to supplant Calipari's resume that does include success at that very institution? Now, I understand that there's some questions here about the game and how it's changed and NIL and transfer portal, and maybe he's not out there trying to do it the right way in 2024. The coaching also is one and done's the way to do it when they're 18 years old and now they're playing against 23-year-old men and they look like 18-year-old boys out there. all of that factors in. And yes, of course, it is hard for any old dog to learn new tricks. And so the coaches that end up with the success over decades and decades and decades are always the most impressive to me, because success in any one snippet is already, sure, impressive, but the longevity of it, because things always
and
change.
And adapting, to your point, generations like Coach K always and Nick change. Saban, changing the way
yes.
they coach.
Changing. They always adapted. They always changed. And I don't think it's feasible for most people, or certainly it's a lofty expectation. But again, where do you go? Because you can't just say, get rid of this guy, who, yes, I get, it's been a while since you've had the success. The last time they were in the Final Four was 2015. That national championship was in 2012. But where are you going from there that's going to end up making you instantly better? And that's the fear when you kind of give in to a spoiled fan base, which, of course, Kentucky is, and deservingly so.
Jay Wright, that's where I would go. I'd money with the hell out of him if you wanted to make a move.
Yeah, but he wouldn't want it. Right?
I wouldn't.
Like, why would Jay Wright do that?
I wouldn't if I'm Jay Wright.
I wouldn't want that pressure if I was him.
You stack the dollars high enough, and Kentucky basketball's got it. That's the way I would go. But you know, when you have to have a presser to announce you're keeping a coach, that ain't good. That's not good.
No, that's not good. When the press conference, just to keep the guy who, by the way, has been there all these years. Coming up next, are the Phoenix Suns still capable of making a run in the Western Conference playoffs? We will get into that here on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.